Accession number 22635, Reel 3.
By Ellison, Reel 3. Yes, you were saying at Port Said that you were billeted in a convent.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes, that's right. And following our original billeting in Alexandria, in a convent where nuns told us the Queen of Egypt, Queen Farida, had been educated there. So it was a very elegant and beautifully set, beautifully located building.
In Alexandria, before you moved, you know, this is going back because quite rightly you've taken me through to Suez. Did you have much to do with the Egyptians? I wondered if you gauged what they thought of the British or Germans. You know, did you get any feelings?
We were told not to mix. We were, because of security, and couldn't be sure. And
was there any contact with or knowledge of the Vichy French at that time?
No, not really. Just, we knew what had happened in France, but that was all we knew about. Although there were French soldiers around, we saw some now and again. But it was... I know when there was an air raid, we were told the Egyptians weren't very happy with us. The streets cleared very quickly when the sirens went. But there was only one evening when there was a German plane caught in the searchlight. It was later shot down. That's all I remember. But, I think an Australian pushed me to the ground when this plane was over and wrecked one of my few pairs of stockings, because I wasn't sure that it was safe to stay standing up.
So after Suez, you know, having spent the 3 months there, what was your next destination?
We were there in Port Said for about 3 months. And then we were told we were going back to Alexandria, and that was about mid-October.
So has the war started, the situation changed then?
Well, we were in time to see the gun flashes from the Battle of El Alamein. So it was only about 50 miles away.
From Alexandria?
Yeah. So we were wishing them all the luck, you know.
Yes. But that was there a great change after El Alamein, do you think, in 1942?
El Alamein was really a very successful battle, and so we were interested to hear about the progress of the Eighth Army going back up towards Tobruk again. So,
how about the leadership? You know, did you hear much about the generals?
We heard about Montgomery after the battle. He became very famous and he was very popular. The troops really seemed to think the world of him. That was the message we were receiving.
Did you ever see him?
No.
But he had a good reputation, you think?
Yeah.
How about Rommel? What do people think about Rommel?
Well, he was the enemy, wasn't he? So we were pleased to hear he was being pushed back again.
So here you were back in Alexandria. Were you back in your old job again?
Well, I was with the same job all the time.
Oh, were you?
We just moved from one place to another and back again.
This is really the end of 1942, isn't it? You're back in Alexandria.
Yeah, in October. And And so we were in different offices this time. So there was a job going in combined operations for Wren, and being in the job I was, I saw this and asked if I could transfer to that job. So I was.
And where was that?
That was in Cairo, in the GHQ, and it was in with all the other headquarters, the army, the air force. It was all part of the same area, which was fenced off from the rest of the street. My boss was Rear Admiral Maund.
M-A-U-D?
M-A-U-N-D.
M-A-U-N-D. He was a Rear Admiral.
Yes, and he had been the captain of the Ark Royal when she sank.
And did you work directly under him?
He was the overall one. We had a naval officer to work under or with. And so it was divided. There was the Rear Admiral, there was a naval officer, the army officer, and an air force officer. And that was the combined services working together to achieve a good result.
Was that harmonious? You know, so far as you could perceive in your job, that the three services got on, they were very cooperative. Did they get on well?
As far as I know, I didn't hear of any disruption. They all had one aim, had they not?
And what was your job, Vi? What were you doing?
Same thing again. And any documents that came in or to be typed out, did that. But some of them were plans for how to retake areas that have been invaded. So it was that sort of idea. And then there were training courses down in Ismailia, which were mostly army, I think, but there were some navy. And I remember they were using things like LCTs and ducks, and the ducks were the ones that could be used on land and in the water. So it was fascinating to think, well, that'd be nice to have one of those.
And you were doing all the typing for the plans of this, were you? Your work, you were typing out the plans for all these training courses.
Well, they worked them out, yes. Yeah. And so I don't think...
Must be very top secret work, Vi, was it?
Well, yes, you haven't got to spice that around.
Was security very tight?
I don't know. It's just that you were told not to say anything. So that's what we did, didn't say anything.
These invasion plans, what areas would they have been for? Because you were Middle East command.
Well,
once
they lost, you see.
Yes, but Italy would it be, and Sicily? Mm-hmm. Would it be Sicily and Italy, south of France, those sort of areas? Can you remember?
Not so far away, I don't think. It was just the ones I saw were just recent losses, I think.
Oh, in North Africa?
No. Can I? It was two... retake the Greek islands, and they had named some of those, and they had different plans for different islands. So that's really what they were working on then.
That must have been interesting work.
Yeah.
To be able to see and type these documents up. It was quite a crucial time in the Middle East, wasn't
yes,
it? 1942-43.
But as it happened, I don't think they didn't have to do this. You see, it all happened through Italy and Sicily and Italy and up that way. Mm-hmm. So in a sense they cut off Greece.
So really the Italy, Sicily didn't come into your area at all?
Well, no. Well, it didn't. Well, it didn't arise. So we were just doing this, the one for the Greek islands.
What was your work, sort of 9 to 5, or did you have to do shift work? You know, late nights as well.
No, not shift work. Can't remember what time we started. Whether it was 9 or earlier, but from 1 o'clock. This is in Cairo only. We had off the afternoon and came back at 5 until 8. So it allowed us to go off swimming in the afternoon.
Did you have good, you know, typewriters and good equipment in your office?
They were adequate, put it that way.
Just adequate?
Well, they did the job.
Did you have telex machines?
We had to do copies. We had to do so many carbon copies, you see.
Did you have any connection with other women's services, like the WAFs, for instance?
They didn't have any others until later on, when the army section had a ATS joined, but that was later.
But the RAF didn't have WAFs?
The Air Force didn't. Not in this office.
So would you have done work for all of them for a while?
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Was it any more? Was it any different when you did work for the Army or the Air Force compared with, you know, bearing in mind you were so experienced with the Navy? Was it any different?
Yes, it was. It was their language and the way they wrote their letters, because they used abbreviations all the time. And so once you got to understand what the abbreviations were, there wasn't a problem.
Yes, I was wondering that, you know, if they had their own terminology and, as you say, abbreviations, which you had to pick up, I suppose.
Yeah.
Quite a demanding job then, that must have been, compared with...
That wasn't too difficult at all, but it was just strange to start with.
Did you say the Navy left after a while?
Yes, as the war progressed up to Tobruk, and there was the operation in Algeria with the Americans, a lot of the Navy... a lot of personnel went that way, transferred, and some went to India.
Did that affect your job?
Not immediately, but I was left with the army, really. And when the Irenes found out I was still there, I was transferred to the... sea transport, which was in another part of GHQ. So I was still staying in Cairo.
And what were you doing there with the sea transport?
Well, there were all these ships going through with different reasons, passenger ships or the troop ships, the ships going through all the time.
So was it a bit like the drafting job, you know, when you were in the drafting office, sending people to the different ships?
When I was in the minesweeping.
No, in the drafting office. Was this job more like that?
Not really. The drafting office was really just lists.
So what were you doing with these in this office? The latest job. What was the difference?
Well, it was the same thing.
It was lists. That's what I wondered. Yeah. If it was similar.
It was doing correspondence and any reports or anything like that. and I had been promoted by then.
How does one get promoted during the war? Did you apply for it, or was it offered to you?
Well, it, after a certain time, you were promoted, and we'd been left off the lists for promotion for so long, so it, leading Wren came and went practically immediately petty officer.
Did that make a difference, you know, to your work, being a petty officer? You know, did it make any difference to
what
you were doing?
I don't think so. I was still in the same job, you see.
Were you getting more pay?
A little bit more, so.
So how long were you in this sea transport job by?
I'm not exactly sure when I started there, but I volunteered. We were sent out there for 2 years, and after 2 years you could volunteer to stay on another 6 months. So I volunteered, I think, 3 times to extend it. So I was there 3.5 years. And then eventually it was caught up with me, and I was sent back to England.
And so during the 3.5 years, would you have been the latter time all the time with the sea transport? Is that what you were doing?
It was the latter time.
The
yeah.
latter time. Yeah. With the yeah. That was your last job,
that
was it,
last
sea transport? Yes. Did that change during the, you know, your time there?
No. Ships kept coming and through, and because the Mediterranean was open then, they didn't have to go round the Cape, and it was safe enough to go through. And when I went home by sea, I went through the Mediterranean this time.
And that would have been what date when you went back?
I think it was June 19th. Or June or July 1945, and so I was able to see Gibraltar, and that was couldn't take enough photographs of it. It's really quite a sight.
What was so striking about Gibraltar?
Well, it's a great big hunk of rock sticking out, and all the activity around it, you see.
Yes, it must have been a very busy place at that time, wasn't it?
I think so. But we weren't allowed ashore.
Well, what was your social life like during the war in North Africa?
It was really very interesting, and we weren't really allowed to go out unescorted. We were discouraged from going out unescorted, put it that way. And so met quite a lot of people. And I had a friend who was a pilot who said he would like to take me up in an airplane. And so he did. He hired a tiger moth at one of the airports in Heliopolis, and I was sitting in the front seat and he was in the back, and helmet and goggles, and off we set. I could hardly believe I was actually coming off the ground, and we flew over Cairo and could see as recognisable places. And it went out and flew around the pyramids. I don't know, it was really fabulous. But then I began to worry about how we were going to get down again. But it was okay, we made it.
That must have been a wonderful experience.
It was really quite one of the highlights, really. But it was so nice.
Your first flight, was it?
Yes, it was.
You must have been in great demand, though, women, in that war situation, were you?
Yes, it was. We met a lot of people, and
Was there a lot of dances and
yes.
sort of bars and places to go to? Was it quite fun?
Well, not bars. We didn't go into bars, but we went to cabarets and also to... there were, as you say, plenty of dances and cinema. And they did take a film of us while we were in the drafting office, rearranged us so we weren't doing what we usually did, and filmed us as being active in the war effort. So that was, I don't know what happened to that. And then another time, my name was drawn out of the hat to broadcast home. So, as we weren't allowed to say anything interesting, it really was just comments about holidays and missing the folks at home and so on. But that was another experience we had.
Were you meeting any Americans?
Yes.
You know, bearing in mind they were in North Africa.
Yes, a friend of mine, the friend I went overseas with, she had come to Cairo as well. There was another a job vacant, and she met an American, and she married out there, and I was bridesmaid. So then she went back to England after her 2 years, or Scotland after her 2 years, and then went to live in America after the war. One of the GI brides. The first year we were there, we didn't have any leave, but in 1943, in April, we were allowed to go. So the first holiday I had there was about a week, or maybe a few days more, in Jerusalem at Easter time. So we saw all the ceremonies going on, and it was extremely interesting. And it was really like walking back into biblical times, because the old buildings and the way people dressed, it was really quite beautiful, really. And so then they had these different ceremonies, and we went into the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, where Jesus had been buried or put into a tomb, and they had ceremonies there. And one of the couples taking part, walking round this tomb, was the King Paul and his wife of Greece. I don't know if they were king then, but they were there. And so then we hired a donkey to ride round the walls, the old walls, and this was very nice to do this. And we saw a memorial commemorating where Lot's wife had turned to stone. And then there were the garden tombs, and there was so many things to see. And then the old souks and the places, the old walls and the old gates, the Damascus Gate, and and then the hall where the Last Supper was held. So it was a very worthwhile holiday, mm-hmm. and we learned quite a bit.
Did you ever see any of the refugee camps at that time in Palestine? Any of the refugee camps?
Oh, wasn't there then?
No.
No,
not the Greek
refugees. It was all Palestine.
Yes, I wonder whether you saw the Greek refugees who were, put in Palestine.
No. It was, I'd say it was all Palestine. And I remember the train we were in, they had to change at Jaffa, and they sold these oranges Jaffa oranges, and they were, I think, a farthing each. They're great big oranges, and they were so scrumptious. So we bought quite a lot of those.
So coming back to England in 1945...
Another holiday.
Oh, right.
Mm-hmm. The next holiday I had was in 1944 and went to Beirut. And we got a lift in a South African plane because I was asked to deliver a document to the naval base. And I went with another Wren friend, and we stayed in the mountains above Beirut, and we used to hitch rides with the army. And so we hitched a lift to Damascus, hitched a lift to Baalbek, and also down into Beirut as well. So we did manage to get around, but what was it like then,
Beirut?
It was it was attractive, and I've been asked to deliver some photographs to friends, to someone else's friend, and so he showed us around a bit, and we were taken to his house, and he had horses which he used for racing, and he also had a lot of chickens, and he gave a demonstration of how he gave a call in chicken language, what? But they came running from all directions, even the smallest chicks, and while he fed them with the grain he had kept for that purpose. So then he took us for a meal by the side of the sea, the sea, and had tempting us with all these local dishes, so including strawberries. So then we went swimming as well, and met up with some old friends from Wren days who'd been in Alexandria. So it was another good holiday.
You were the first draft of Wren's out there, I think, weren't you? Did you tell me?
Yeah, we first draft.
Yes, had many more drafts come out after yours? In North Africa.
Before they kept on coming, but there were, I think, two before we were evacuated, and then that's it. So they kept coming, and after we went back to Alexandria, after the Battle of El Alamein was fought, they just kept coming. So eventually, because they had to take on more quarters, so some we just never met because they lived in another building.
Did they all arrive safely, the Wrens that came over? Do you know? Were any ever lost at sea?
Not those ones, no. Let's see, before we left England, there were the ones lost in the Agila, and they had been going to Gibraltar. We never heard of anything about them until after the war.
They were going where? To
Gibraltar.
And it was kept quiet, was it?
Well, everything was kept quiet. They didn't really announce any losses. And we weren't, I think, when they went in August 1941. But I think it was a smaller ship than we were in.